Blog Talk Radio.
Your questions, your health. This is Mind Matters.
Hello and welcome to the show. Welcome to Mind Matters. My name is Barijat and I'm going to be your host for today. We are talking about divorce and stigma. Last week we had the pleasure of having Shirish Sate on our show and he talked about his experience with helping his niece actually navigate the divorce process. And if you missed the show, we have it archived on our website at www.mysahana.org. You can listen to the entire show there. But he had some really incredible experiences and so helpful to the South Asian community that we were very honored to have him to share his experiences with us. He talked about how his niece was in an abusive relationship and how his role as an uncle transformed her life from being in an abusive relationship to actually getting the strength to leave, and then what he learned through the divorce process of helping her actually end that marriage. We got some incredible responses from that show. Listeners emailed us so many of their own stories of people who are sharing that they went through very similar things and that they were so glad somebody was talking about it. So I am so happy to share some of those stories with you today. We had numerous people send us emails after that show asking questions about divorce. But really today what we want to do is we want to get your thoughts on divorce. It's a very sensitive topic amongst the South Asian community. It is one that people shy away from, and it is one that people don't want to accept as real and is a real option for some couples. So we want to get your thoughts on what do you think about divorce, anything about it, your experiences, your thoughts, your opinions, your ideas, whatever you want to share, we would love to hear it. Give us a call at 347-539-5798. That's 347-539-5798. You can also tweet us at MySahana, and we are more than happy to read your tweets out loud. If you're sharing your own personal story and you would like to keep it private, you can certainly leave a different name. Use a different name. You go by anonymous, and we're more than happy to respect that for you. I wanted to start off with this topic, actually, of divorce, in that the South Asian community and South Asian countries around the world have a very, very low divorce rate. I believe last I checked, it was somewhere around 1% of marriages end in divorce, which when compared to the United States statistic of 50% of marriages end in divorce, we're looking at a vastly different type of marriage and different values when it comes to marriage in the South Asian community. I do believe that South Asian marriages have a lot of strengths, and there's definitely a lot of value placed on your family. However, I'm very careful to rely on that 1% statistic because what happens is while people are still legally married, that does not say anything about the health of their marriage while they are together. So even though there are 99% of marriages stay intact legally, the statistic doesn't include people who are cheating on each other, who are so unhappy with each other that they experience mental health issues, or relationships where abuse occurs. We're just talking about the legal ending of marriage. Is 1%. And one concept of divorce that I think is really fascinating to take into account, which applies to a lot of South Asian culture, is that there is such a thing as an invisible divorce. That just because you are legally married, it does not mean that you are in a healthy, happy marriage. An invisible divorce is basically a couple that is legally married but is no longer satisfied emotionally or physically or mentally in the relationship. This is a couple where their lives tend to proceed in parallel with one another. It's almost like they are roommates or coworkers, just kind of living together. If they have children, their only reason they're together is for the children, but the intimacy in their relationship is completely gone. And there are a lot of different signs of an invisible divorce. Because you have this kind of relationship or because you are even divorced, it does not mean that you don't love your spouse or that you never loved your spouse. What it does mean, though, is that the relationship has gotten to a point where there's so much damage done to the relationship that it's healthier for the two of you to be apart than to be together. And in the case of an invisible divorce, where people are legally married but are not emotionally invested in each other anymore, the couple, people in the partnership tend to feel resentful. They tend to feel indifferent to each other. And there's just not this connection or this bond there. For some people, having an invisible divorce is better than being legally divorced for purely financial reasons. And that is a very realistic concern for people when they're considering a divorce, is the finances. Other people, which I think applies to a lot of South Asians, is they feel very ashamed that this marriage didn't work. The South Asian culture really prides itself on marriage and family and staying together, and a divorce really goes against that. And pursuing that legal divorce can be very ostracizing. Other people believe that they should stay together for the sake of the children. And we're going to talk a little bit about how children are affected and how they're affected by marital discord and how they're affected by a divorce. We're going to get to that in a second. I would love to hear your thoughts. Give me a call at 51... I'm sorry, give me a... That's not the number you're supposed to call. Call 347-539-5798. 347-539-5798. You can tweet us at MySahana. I'd love to hear what you have to say about divorce and stigma. I believe we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. What's your name and what's your thought or your question on divorce and stigma?
Hi, my name is Sanjana. And first of all, your show is very awesome. I really like your show.
Thank you so much.
I just want to ask a question regarding the post-divorce, like South Asian people, they will be down after the divorce, right? So, and people show sympathy and they look them down. So how can someone can cope up with post-divorce?
That's such a great question. And I think that really speaks to what we're talking about today, which is the stigma related to divorce. And it's there and it's real and it has very real impact on the people who are divorced. I think one of the things is it's important for family members to educate themselves on the realities of divorce and to remember that a divorce happens between, though it affects everyone in the family, it really happens between the two people that are married. And so the more that the family can support you, the better it's going to be. Second of all, going through a divorce, even with the most ideal support from family and friends, is extremely stressful. It's very difficult, and it takes a lot out of you. So one of the things that MySahana recommends is to seek counseling or to seek some kind of support from an outsider that's not in your family. That might be a counselor or a therapist. It might be a psychiatrist. It might even be somebody at your temple, mosque, or church, but somebody who you can confide in and talk to and really receive that support, because that is really necessary and helpful to overcome the stress that is just inherent in the divorce process. We got an email from one of our listeners named Nandini last week when she listened to our show, and she had a very similar comment that she wanted to add. She says, I loved your show on divorce with a guest talking about his niece. I wanted to add that families must be open-minded to wherever the relationship goes. It is not up to the mother, father, or siblings on what happens in a marriage or a divorce. Even though it is stressful for everyone, divorce is not a bad option and sometimes is the best option for some people, and families must respect that. You know, Nandini, I do agree with you. Being in a South Asian family, everybody's really affected by everything. When it's a joyous occasion, everybody's thrilled for you, and when it's a sad occasion, everybody's down with you. And so it can be very difficult when you're considering a divorce because you want to think about how it's going to affect your parents and your siblings and your other family members. And if you have children, you're certainly going to consider that as well. But I do agree that the more educated and aware people are about why divorce is a good option and why it might be the best option for some couples, the better they will be to support you if that is what you're going through. There's a lot of misunderstanding and misconception about how marital conflict affects children. You know, when we talk about children and divorce, the whole situation becomes the whole other situation. It's a whole other mess of things that come with it. It becomes very tricky on how to navigate it. And I wanted to speak a little bit about that because that's one of the questions that my Sahana receives very frequently, is that one partner in a couple is very unhappy and they want to seek some kind of help and they wonder whether staying together is right for the sake of the children, even though the two partners aren't getting along at all. There's a lot of research that's been done on marital conflict and how it affects children. And one of the things that people don't realize is that when children are placed in a hostile environment where the two parents are just at each other's throats, or they're so upset with each other that they're not even talking and there's this ice-cold feeling in the house, it really affects them. There's research that was actually done at University of Rochester and at Notre Dame, and they found that children actually experience the same type of and same level of cardiac stress as adults do when they were placed and when they lived in a home where the parents just did not get along with each other at all. The other thing that I think is really important for parents to realize is that even if you are being cordial with each other in front of the children, which is extremely important, if you are giving any kind of nonverbal expression of hostility, resentment, or showing that you just are not happy with each other, examples of that can be, you know, rolling your eyes at each other, possibly sighing exasperatedly, maybe even giving some kind of profane gesture with your hands. Children pick up on that. Children as young as infants and toddlers pick up on that, and they really do feel the stress of their parents not getting along. So while staying together for children can maintain somewhat of a stable environment for them, if you're not getting along with your partner at all, it is really affecting your children. It affects their heart health. It affects their cortisol levels in their bodies. It comes out in a lot of physical ways. That you might notice your children aren't sleeping as well. They're not eating as well. Maybe changes in their weight may happen. They might suddenly come up with a lot of unexplained stomach aches or headaches. The other side of it, too, is that the children start to learn that this is how you communicate when you're unhappy. And so so a lot of these children show aggressive behavior at schools against their peers, against their siblings. They might use physical force. They might throw things. They might even become defiant towards authority. And these are all things that they're learning because parents are in such a difficult place and are not managing their conflict properly. So from my Sahana, you know, our recommendation is if you find yourself in a relationship where you are really unhappy, and especially if there are children involved, we highly recommend that you see a marriage counselor or some kind of marriage specialist who's going to help you navigate that and figure out how to have a healthy relationship again. We have another caller here on the line. Hello, what's your name and what are your thoughts on divorce and stigma?
Hello.
Yes, hi. What's your name?
My name is Sushma, and I have a question and a comment also.
Okay.
I heard the last Friday show with Chiri Sathe, and I really applaud to him for supporting his niece, you know, going through the divorce. And I'm sure, you know, it is very stressful for the person who is going through it. But my question is, being the stigma in South Asian, we don't really talk to them openly even if we see a problem in couple's relationship. When can one cross that boundary and step in to help when we see problems in couples' relationship that it is getting really bad and something has to be done about it. Can you answer that?
Are you? Let me make sure I understand you correctly. Are you asking as an outsider, when should an outsider step in if they see something that's wrong?
That's correct. Outsider as a friend or a relative, when can they step in? Is there some kind of guideline to explain when one can cross the boundary and try to help the couple?
You know, that's a really great question, and I think that relates really well to what Shirish Sathe was talking about last week. Is, you know, when I was speaking with him off the air, he was saying that it was difficult for him to know how far to go, considering that he wasn't the one in the marriage and he was a relative that was coming in from the outside. Our general recommendation for our followers and listeners for South Asians is we know how hard it is when you see a loved one experiencing a lot of stress and demise in a relationship. It takes a huge toll on not only them, but on you as well as a friend wanting to support them. If you notice a friend or a relative in a difficult or stressful or unhealthy relationship, it's okay to pull one of them aside, especially if one of them is closer to you, and to sit down with them and express your concern very gently and very carefully. We would recommend, you know, letting them know if you have any concrete examples. For example, in last week's case that Shirish Sathe was talking about with regards to his niece, he could have sat down with her if he knew about this beforehand and said, you know, these are some things I'm noticing that your husband is doing to you that concern me, and to be very specific with what your concerns are. If you've noticed, witnessed something yourself, you can use those as examples. And what we would want you to do is to express them clearly, but to express them very gently, because this is very difficult to hear. It's a very sensitive topic to hear something negative about your spouse. And from there, the best thing that you can do is to offer your support. We definitely don't recommend that you suggest divorce unless the person might be thinking about it. But we really think that as a relative or a friend, your best role is to offer your support by listening, by showing that you care, and by acknowledging to them that you understand what happens in that marriage is determined by the two people in that marriage. Even if you know otherwise, even if you are very sure that divorce is the right option for them or counseling is the right option for them, unfortunately, being the outsider, it's not your place to say so. So I hope that answers your question about that. Another listener from last week had a really interesting point. His name is Rajesh, and he wrote to us last week right after the show, and he said, I think divorce should be an option only if you will get remarried. Living alone for the rest of your life is too depressing, and so it might be better to stay with someone you already married. That's a question and a comment that we get very often and that is so prevalent in the South Asian community. I would love your thoughts on this. You can give us a call at 347-539-5798 or you can tweet us at MySahana. Looks like we have a caller here. I want to see if they have a – hi, what's your name and what are your thoughts on divorce and stigma or about Rajesh's comment?
Hi, my name is Maria. And I actually had a question, if that's okay.
Oh, sure, sure.
I was actually wondering, how can divorce, like, take place that without negatively affecting children involved?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think taking children into account is so, so important if divorce seems to be the best option for the couple. We definitely recommend keeping children involved in the conversation. Even if you lie to them and tell them everything's fine, they know that everything's not fine. Like we were talking about earlier, they can pick up on verbal and nonverbal cues that there is stress in the family. What we also suggest to some couples is a counselor or a mediator is sometimes an excellent resource to have. The two parents are going through an extreme amount of stress knowing that their marriage is going to be over. And figuring out the legal and social and financial ramifications of that, that sometimes having somebody else watching out for the benefit of your children can be a really big asset in order to navigate this process that's so complicated as best as possible. There are numerous organizations around the country, actually, that focus specifically on smooth transitioning from a married household to a divorced household, and we're happy to provide those referrals if anybody is interested. You can feel free to contact us. The other thing that we suggest is it's really important for parents to maintain a sense of peace as much as possible with each other. If that's not possible, sometimes removing yourself from the situation might be the better option to do. Maybe it's better that you start taking turns in terms of who's going to be around the kids at the time, even before a divorce happens, just to keep the stress level as minimal as possible, since this is going to be very impacting on the children. And most importantly, I think above and beyond everything else that I've said, both parents must emphasize to the children numerous times that the divorce was, number one, not their fault, because children will try to find some explanation for what they've done to cause this to happen. And number two, that they will always be loved by both parents. These are two things that the children very quickly turn around in their heads and turn into something very negative, and that can be very hard for them to live with. So as much as the parents can explain that and express that, it's going to be very important. Also, if the children are young, especially if they're, you know, younger than teens, but even in their teen years, the way that they conceptualize the divorce is going to change almost on a yearly basis as they develop. And so it is very likely that these conversations are going to have to keep happening well after the divorce, even after you think they've become accustomed to it. It's very important to keep those lines of communication open about that. I want to go back to Rajesh's comment, actually, for a second. He mentioned that he thinks divorce should be only an option if you are to get remarried, and that living alone might be too depressing than staying with somebody that you are already married to. Being alone, especially after you've made a commitment to somebody and especially after you have a history with someone, is very difficult. Staying together in an unhappy relationship is not actually healthy for either partner. And that being alone, while it might seem scary, if divorce seems like the last recourse, it may actually in the long run be better. There are numerous studies that show that when you are in an unhealthy relationship, both partners have significant negative impact on their physical health. They have lowered immune response, so they recover from simple things like a common cold much more slowly. Their heart rate goes up, their blood pressure goes up, cholesterol goes up. It's really, really unhealthy, even physically, to be in a relationship that is detrimental to one or both of you. So while, again, the decision is based on both parties, whether they want to stay together or not, and for whatever reasons that might be, fear of being alone should not be the reason that divorce is not considered, if that seems to be where the relationship is going. There are a lot of things that couples can do to prevent divorce. This, just because there are bumps in the road, does not mean a relationship is headed towards divorce. Every relationship has ups and downs, and it is very, very normal. To make sure that your relationship stays healthy, we recommend a few things to couples. Number one, it is really important that before you get married, you actually address a lot of very sensitive topics ahead of time. Talk to each other about finances, about children, about religion, about money, about sex, about where you want to live and how you want to live. Make sure that you're on the same page about that. And if you had an arranged marriage and you weren't able to speak with each other earlier, it's important to make sure you're on the same page about that as soon as possible. as you settle into the relationship, it's really important that you identify your weak communication skills. Some people are really good at expressing their feelings. Some people not so much. Some people get angry really quickly while other people express themselves through other emotions. Identify where you go wrong in your arguments and try to improve on that as much as possible. And one way to do that is to speak very clearly and openly. Your partner is not a mind reader, so they're not going to be able to know what you need until you tell them. Even if you've been married 25, 30 years, people change and what they need changes. So be very open and be very clear about what you need and how your partner can help you be happy in the relationship. Another thing that we like to really emphasize is that resentment is a toxic emotion in a relationship. It can really, really damage your relationship with anybody. Resentment is toxic in any relationship, but especially in a marriage. So if you find yourself feeling resentful about something that's happened in the past in your marriage, it's so important that you overcome that and you work through that resentment. And by doing that, you will also stop blaming each other for the problems in the relationship. You'll be able to step back and recognize that both of you carry some responsibility in the way that the relationship has developed. And finally, our biggest and most important piece of advice is to fight fair. Arguments happen in every single relationship. They are inevitable, and they're actually great learning opportunities for both partners. But you want to make sure that you don't hit below the belt. You don't bring up stuff from the past. You don't say anything about a personal attack about your partner. But you find a time when it's good for both of you to talk. You find a time when you're both able to speak and listen openly. And you always go into an argument with the goal being, how can we improve our relationship? Not, how do I prove that I'm right? How do I prove that you're wrong? If you go in as a team, you will come out as a team. And the more that these habits start forming, the better off the relationship is going to be when any bump in the road comes along. Life is stressful. Relationships definitely take a hit. And as long as these healthy habits are formed on a regular basis and they're practiced on a regular basis, the stress can be managed. And divorce doesn't necessarily have to be an option. For other couples, it's really important to recognize when divorce is really necessary. In abusive relationships, in situations where one or both partners are just not willing to change and are not willing to actually compromise and improve the relationship, sometimes divorce is the right thing to do. And for couples with children, think about what you're teaching them. Is being together so that you all live under the same roof but not getting along at all and showing in many different ways how much you dislike each other, is that the right lesson you want to teach them? Or have you tried everything possible and nothing's worked and maybe going your own separate ways and showing your children that both parents can be happy and it just happens to be in a more non-traditional way? That can be okay too. I want to thank everyone for your incredible calls, and we're already getting so many emails from this radio show, and we'll do our very best to get back. Want to thank everyone for sharing their stories. There are so many more that I could have shared today, but we just ran out of time. But I really wanted to appreciate everybody for speaking up. This is a really important topic, and we want to reduce the stigma so that people feel comfortable to make the right choices for them. Divorce is not right for everyone, but marriage isn't right for everyone either. And we have to know how to support each other through that. So I really appreciate everyone participating in this conversation. Wanted to also let you know, on May 19th, that's a Saturday, My Sahana is hosting a parenting workshop for those of you who are interested in learning about how to become the ultimate parent. We are selling tickets on our website, so please do check that out. Next week, we are talking about relationships, and we are answering any and all of your questions about relationships. We have an excellent guest coming on board, Dr. Ranjan Patel, who is a psychologist in the Bay Area. She will be here with us. And continue to spread the word about stigma, mental health, divorce, anything like that. We just want South Asians to feel supported. Join us again next time and help us open minds for a healthier tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Mind Matters is a radio show produced by Mai Sahana. To learn more about Mai Sahana, visit www.maisahana.org.